I'd like to bring the regular meeting of the Water Wastewater Committee to order. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken. I'd like the record to reflect that all members are present.
Thank you very much. That's the 4:30 meeting.
Hi.
Hello?
Hey, Kevin, this is Gregory Harris. I'm on the line, but I didn't hear the roll call. I just want to let you know that I am here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hold on 1 second, folks. Blair, under. Yes, good girl. Okay, now we can have the meeting. Public comments. This is the time, if there's anybody on the call would like to make a comment with regards to anything that's not agendized, this would be your time to make a general comment and address the committee. We asked that it would pertain to water, wastewater. And is there any way for us to know if anybody else is on the line? No. Is there anybody that would like to speak at this point? Done. Great. Thank you. If there are people out there, please feel free to listen closely and comment when asked. You want to...
motion to approve meeting minutes from June 2nd.
And I will second that. Is there any discussion? Anybody want to change anything? Hearing none, all those in favor? Aye. Motion carries. Am I on the right?
Yes.
Okay, good. No, I'm reading communications committee. I still have the wrong agenda. Where's my agenda? I've got communications, I've got parks and rec, and I got, thank you. I guess I sat down in the wrong seat. Sorry, folks. Okay, thank you, Yesenia. My fault. Which is why the date was different than what you read. Okay, presentations, water and wastewater update. Who's on for that? Do we have one? Okay, the water and the wastewater has been updated and is flowing. Thank you. Discussion items number one. Let's talk about the back truck. Who's up?
Afternoon. So I bring to you the Aqua back truck that we currently have and the possible options of replacing it that in front of you, I have a couple of quotes for upgrading that Aqua truck. We're bringing it up to date. Used trucks and some demo trucks and new trucks. Our current 2008 Aqua truck has 13,000 miles on it. It has less than 2,300 hours, but those hours are not actual. Those hours are, it was an hour gauge or meter that was installed.
Yeah, I don't know if that's on it. It doesn't sound like it is. Thank
is that
you.
Better? I don't hear it.
I just want to make sure it records, that's all. Thank
okay.
you.
Has 2,300 hours, but those are not actual, as that counter was put on installed after we've had the truck for a few years. The real hours are really unknown. That truck is also facing a clean air compliance issue starting January 1st of 2023. It will no longer be smog compliant.
Understood.
Currently, the truck is showing signs of wear. For instance, we had a rear axle start to walk on us. There's tandem axles in the back. The rear axle, a pin or something sheared allowed that axle to walk. As you're turning it, it actually caused damage to the inside of that truck, damaging some water lines. So that had to go in for repair. Other things such as there's a piston that extends out the vacuum portion of that has been replaced in the past, but it has bent again. So I'm thinking there's something structurally there that's bent, causing the piston to bend out of shape. Still usable, just cannot extend it all the way out. We had that quoted with a new motor, new transmission to bring it up to smog compliant, along with updating the wearable equipment that's on that truck, and we reported roughly around $260,000. That does not include the PTO, for the pressure, water pressure system.
Got it.
Vac equipment, anything like that.
Sure.
So we look to purchasing or getting quotes for some used trucks. Used trucks do not stay in the lot for very long. By the time we get a quote, we have pressure to get an offer on it, otherwise it's gone. Some of the trucks that came out actually during a demo broke on site, couldn't do what they actually came out to do. And they averaged between $395,000 to $400,000 used. And their mileage in hours are higher than what we currently have, or in the same ballpark. 19,000 miles, 1,600 hours. And they're probably hard hours. We looked at purchasing a demo truck. We're interested in looking at a demo truck. We had that one brought out from Own Equipment. It's a 2020. It has 8,000 miles, and it's probably a lot of highway traveling miles, not a lot of usable hardware miles. It has hours of 250 hours or 260 hours. They want $460,000 for that truck.
Is it even still available?
It is still available. It's, yeah, it's still available. I just got to talk to them the other day.
That's through Owen?
Yeah.
Through Owen Equipment.
Okay.
The truck is a little larger in size to our truck, but with that, you don't gain capacity because you still have a weight limit on the road. So you actually start reducing your tank size and capacity sizes.
What year is that?
The Owen 2020.
Oh, you said that. I apologize.
No worries.
Well, and so you're talking about the 8352 and the 255 hours, but really the hours are what we're, I mean, the mileage, we're not going to put.
We don't care about the hours.
Yeah, we don't care about either one of those because we're working within such a small area. We just, in fact, it needs to be driven to once in a while to be kept.
You kind of were concerned about the hours.
The hours more than the mileage.
Yeah,
250 hours. I don't know how those. I don't know if those are demo hours. That truck probably had a whole lot of usage.
Yeah.
When they came out and demoed it for us, they didn't get dirty. So
that's not the one that broke down.
Correct.
Okay.
Then we invited Weco Industries to come out and show us one of their models. They actually brought out a 2014 demo model that they are not selling. They enjoy that truck quite a bit.
Who's that?
Weco Equipment or Weco Industries.
Got it.
They came out and demoed for us twice.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In comparing, I'm looking at four different quotes here, I believe, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in doing the comparison, and in the future, I would prefer that if you were going to bring us something like this, that you bring us a comparison matrix so we can see the different units and the prices all on one sheet. It just makes it easier for us to look at the pertinent information because we're going to trust, I'm going to trust Ashley and you and the rest of, and Tony and Anthony and everybody to make sure we're getting the right equipment. I trust you guys to make sure that happens. But I want to see what we're making a decision on as a matrix in the future, okay? You've done that comparison.
Yep.
These four units right here do either everything we need or more. Sometimes they do more than we need just because it's part of the truck, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you making a recommendation on this?
I am.
Okay.
I'm making a recommendation to go forward with Weco Industries truck. They provide a quote for a new truck that is pretty comparable to those used in demos that we were looking at.
And that one also has a long enough bandwidth to go underwater, correct?
So out of the other trucks, this truck has the capabilities that I haven't seen other trucks do. And we've had other trucks come out and try, like an underwater line crossing we had out here, which is very much like a project that we're going to be doing here soon, where we had to vacuum the water out of this on the water crossing line, and the truck could not do it. This, that truck that came out and did it was a lot like the trucks we were looking at purchasing. I didn't know that there was an option to have on a truck to where you can actually submerge the hose fully in the pipeline and not incrementally go down and pull a few inches at a time. Beco has a truck that you can completely submerge the vacuum line into 50 feet below grade of this of the water level and actually turn it on.
And so that will help us with like the diffuser project.
We're looking at a diffuser project that is roughly 35 feet below water level, but it expands out 200 feet. This truck should give us the capability to put in a hose and run it to the very end of the diffuser where we have our current clogging issues in our current diffuser and be able to suck out the muck from that end instead of the issue we have now where we can't.
So even in the redesign of the diffuser, maintaining that properly would help with that.
It could be an annual or biannually maintenance.
Kind of like blowing out the pipes or cleaning out the lines.
And this is brand new, correct, in comparison to the other one. So it will have probably a couple miles on it because they're going to be transporting it. But as far as hours and everything, it's covered under warranty. It's compliant for however many million years we need it to be compliant.
Yeah, so I spoke to Freightliner for the warranty stuff, and WECO actually upsized the motor for that specific reason of pulling vacuum in that size pipe. They recommended the DD13 the high idle.
Yeah.
It's not so much the reliability, it's just for the horsepower of the high idle and the RPMs that you're going to be putting on that motor.
Yeah, because you need that high idle to run the PSI and the pumps and stuff
and
like
vacuum.
That. And it's just going to sit there and idle. And so that engine's going to be able to handle that a lot better than...
Does that all work off of PTO?
Yep.
Okay.
Drive shaft driven.
Drive shaft PTO.
The warranty on that truck is a 2-year unlimited. They don't care about mileage or hours on that truck or chassis. And with the DD13, there's an optional warranty for 7-year... 100,000 miles. You can increase the mileage, but that cost for the warranty goes up. So they're offered a 7-year, 100,000 miles worth of $5,000.
Is there hour limits on that, or is it just
no hour limits?
I was gonna say we don't really care about mileage.
I told the guy on the phone. I said, man, I really don't care about hours or mileage. I care about hours. We don't worry about hours.
So the only other question on that is, we make sure, because the CARB compliant, California CARB compliant laws are changing January 2022. So this year coming up, January 1st, those CARB compliant laws are changing. So it would be a 2023 model year truck, a 2022 model year engine needs to be California CARB certified from the factory.
In this quote has the mandatory now CARB compliant warranty. I think it's
5 years, 300,000.
Yeah, so that's in that quote.
And it should be for after treatment and engine. Okay, just making sure. Because if not,
didn't originally put it on the quote, and when I called them back and I said, do you have the new 2022-23 CARB compliant? And they said, that just got slammed on our desk. Yeah, here it is.
So yeah, because if not, you cannot register that truck in California. So, and it has to come from the factory, even though it's a warranty issue. If you put it on afterwards and it's not certified from the factory, they will still not allow you.
They actually said they will not sell us a truck without that warranty.
Yeah, they're smart.
Just out of curiosity, I'm looking at 4 different quotes, I think, but there's no price at this one.
You're looking at the $15,993. There is no quote on it.
Okay, so let's put that aside.
There was 3 used trucks on there, and one of them for some reason didn't include a quote because I think it sold already before.
Okay.
I was just showing you a quick comparison.
So, because we have a truck expert on board, I'm not an expert, I'm not going to get involved in those technicalities, but here's my overall general picture from a director's standpoint, and that is, the quicker we respond to an issue with regard, especially to wastewater, the quicker that we have a vehicle that can respond to an issue and be fully capable of diminishing the spill and the amount of gallons that we have to worry about getting to the delta or wherever it can get to, because we know the drains are wide open, the better off we are. So my concern really is about performance. And especially based on the fact that, the two new units are within $40,000 of each other, it looks like to me. Is that what you saw there?
Yeah.
And so...
And I think this unit has more on it than the other unit.
You're talking about the WECO?
The WECO, yeah, because it can, comparably, it can go in and go underwater submerging where the other one cannot.
And we, here's the deal. We know that we have, that we got pipes that are going to need to be replaced, and we have 13, 14, 18 underwater crossings here. We have all these things that we need to make sure we have the capability of dealing with. And even though that's water, not wastewater, that we're talking about, again, the response that we need to be fully capable of responding as quickly as possible with the best equipment we can to a wastewater.
Equipment that's reliable.
I'm sorry?
We need equipment that's reliable.
Well, and they can do the job of minimize our exposure with regards to fines and everything else from the state. And so that's really what my concern is.
The nice thing about this WECO truck is the wear and tear parts on it, you can purchase at your local automotive store off the shelf. You don't need to send it back to the factory or to the service center to get those parts where you have downtime.
I actually like that. And that's for the bodies. Like on these trucks, the body's way more complicated than the chassis.
Yeah,
so if you can purchase common parts.
I'm confused looking at it. I'm pretty mechanically inclined.
I think this is
so your recommendation, staff's recommendation is WECO. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that, Director?
I think that
you'll go along with that idea?
Yeah.
Okay, then are you looking for a recommendation from us to give to the board? Is that what you're looking for?
I'm looking to bring this back to the board in 2 weeks.
Okay. For approval?
For approval, and I can put the comparison chart on that.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be real detailed.
Yeah.
Because really all everybody's going to look at is the price. But make sure you explain that this is a used price, as ours, quite a few, compared to what we put on of ourselves.
Yeah.
And then the comparison of the other two.
Yeah.
And then we would, I'm thinking that we're going to be in agreement in recommending to the board that we go with the WECO product.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That's how we'll move forward.
Because you still have 9 months to a year to get that once it's ordered.
Right. Yes, once it's ordered, they say it takes about nine months to a year, and so we have until the end of 2022 before our truck is moving. So there's some time there.
Okay.
Anybody want to add to that, or are we good? Everybody okay with that decision?
Yeah, I think what we'll do is we'll write up the sole source justification as well.
We would.
If nothing else, it's the ability to submerge.
That's huge, and I mean, probably value-wise, dollar-wise, that will save us a lot of money for other projects.
We understand and appreciate that very much, Mike. That's kind of, I think that'd be a great idea to cut down on the process also and get this thing rolling. Because we've been talking about this for
a while.
Great presentation. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Aaron. What about the dump truck? Are you going to stay there for that?
Yeah, I'm going to stay there for that.
Okay. Talk to me about a dump truck.
It's not a dump truck.
Correct?
It's a conveyor belt truck.
Okay.
Right.
A walking
for the
bed
presses?
A walking bed, yes, correct.
It's a walking floor.
Walking floor truck. So it's a 2004 International that was a one-off built in Idaho from IMCO. I don't know when it was sent back there, but all I know is Veolia actually reached out to them and asked them about, do you guys have a local service center out here that can take a look at our truck? And the owner of the company actually laughed and said, I remember that truck, which is usually an odd sign that you remember a truck from 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So either
selling a truck, one or the other, yeah.
Yeah. So what happened to this truck is the actual conveyor system on it has failed. We have tried repairing it in the past, but every time we make a repair, it something must be bent or twisted, because every time we put a little bit of tension on this conveyor belt system, it breaks and slides off and breaks another conveyor piece somewhere. The issue we're having is I can't get anybody to come out and take a look at it that can work on it.
It's kind of pretty close to out of compliance too, correct?
It is out of compliance.
Yeah.
Luckily, because it doesn't hit 100 hours or 1,000 miles.
We're just running it.
It sits there as basically an old farm truck and just moves 50 feet over to make a dump. So it is no longer compliant to meet the road standards.
Let me just put a freeze right there for a moment because I neglected to do something. Is there anybody on the line that wants to make any comments with regards to the back truck that we discussed? I forgot to go back to public comment on that. I made the assumption nobody was on the line, but I shouldn't have done that. Is there anybody on the line that would like to discuss the back truck issue? Okay, great. Sorry about that. Do you have proposals on that yet?
I don't have any proposals on it. Okay. I'm doing all the groundwork as well as Veolia. We're calling people anywhere and everywhere to even come take a look at this. Nobody will give us a quote. Nobody else will look at it. We've had a few people come out who don't do that work and just say, why do you want to repair this truck? They don't even make parts for it anymore. And I'm not talking about the conveyor belt system anymore. I'm talking about the motor and training. So if there was ever an issue with that motor and training,
it's done.
It's done. They won't repair it. So right now we're looking at, it's kind of pointless to repair the conveyor belt system on this truck if the truck just craps the bed on us.
So do you need a brand new truck? Are you looking to do a used truck, different system?
We're looking at all options. We've even looked at getting a trailer possibly because the trailers seem fairly cheap, but then you've got liability of people backing it in there all day long, backing it into our solar dryer. So a straight bed truck would be nice. Other thoughts would be our current back truck. We haven't reached out to anybody yet to come take a look at it to confirm, but maybe if we can have the equipment removed off our current back truck where it's now just a chassis and motor, we can now designate that as a possible farm truck, which no longer has to meet compliance.
Because it never has to be on a public street.
Correct.
And you don't register it, correct?
Don't register.
And then you would just need to find a body to put on it.
Put a live floor trailer body on it, and now it's repurposed as a solid waste dumping truck.
Do we have any problems sourcing the manufacturer, the production, or the manufacturing of that body that we need? Or you just can't find people to come out and look at that old truck to repair it? I mean, if we decide...
It's not the truck that needs repairing. It's the conveyor belt system.
Right.
It's the equipment, and they don't...
They won't try to repair that, but we could purchase a new conveyor system for...
Correct, or maybe, you know, maybe a simpler style conveyor system, not one that's one-off built in Idaho. Because there is an ag belt here, and I'm sure they all have live floor trailers, and they do this stuff all the time.
Okay.
So we're still doing legwork, so this is just...
Preliminary. Guess what? Another truck's coming on to your committee meeting to be talked about.
Yeah.
We'll talk afterwards.
So I appreciate that information, and I won't exactly say we're looking forward to hearing more about this, but because it's all cost money. I don't know where our budget is on this stuff. Julie, I don't know where our budget is on this stuff.
You literally are just... What is it used for?
So in the wastewater plant, it's to we have a belt press, which we still have on the toilet. They give you a toilet facility.
Yeah.
So you have the greenhouses out there, the solar dryers, and we dry the sludge in that system. And once it's dry, before it gets to that point, we send all our liquid sludge through a conveyor belt system, and it dumps into the back bed of this truck. And then this truck literally just drives into the greenhouse system and just conveyors it off. And we've looked at just getting a dump truck, but the problem is the rack system where all the fans and controls are. As soon as the dump goes up, you're now interfering with the structural design of that solar dryer.
Yeah. Okay. Do we still use moles in there? Do we still have moles going back and forth in there all the time?
Yeah,
I got to get over there. I haven't been over there in a few years.
Come on.
Yeah, thanks. Come see my crap, right?
Yeah.
Appreciate the heads up on that. Let's be proactive and let's move these things along. Let's make sure we have, if we need to add it to the CIP, that finance hears about it so we can make sure that we have things going into the budget year to cover these things. I appreciate that, Aaron. Anything else you want to make? Please move forward with that. Is there any other discussion that you want to do about it at this point?
Okay.
Hey, Kevin, I'd like.
Yeah, Greg, you have something? I'm sorry, Greg. Well, I asked if anybody had anything to say. Greg, you have something to say?
Yeah. So I worked with the town when we bought the original truck, and in Philco, or the company from Idaho, what they originally did was they bought a used truck. The town bought it, and they put that the box conveyor system on the back of the truck. So have you, when you talked to that original owner, did you ask them if you switched out the vac truck, would they put a new box on it for you?
I did not ask the guy in Idaho for that question, no. I think
okay, all right, so you were asking if they had a look, but they're in the business of building custom trailers, if you would, or custom boxes. And the Live Fort Bottom is a common agricultural industry deal, so it could be that they can, if you give them the vac truck, they can modify it and put a new box on it if you like the, at least the engine drivetrain side of the vac truck.
Okay.
That's something to look into, Gregory. Thank you. But and I appreciate that, and I would follow through with that, but based on the fact that we live in the middle of the Red Belt of California, and we have at the end of Highway 4 on Charter Way 10 companies that probably provide something similar to this, or at least know where to get them, it might be better to source it locally if it's not. I mean, I understand how things were done a few years ago, and I understand how things can create some issues. So I would also like to have you look into local sourcing it and see if we don't have something down in Hoyt or Case or some of these guys down at the end of Highway 4, because we're in the middle of an agricultural belt. If that's something common, it can't be that difficult to put together.
It was interesting because the day this truck broke down, we were sitting there scratching our heads like, what in the world's going on? Who do we call? And as we were exiting onto Highway 4, I'm looking over and they're dumping stuff with wide bed trailers right next door to me. And I went,
yeah.
Well, okay, so, they're local.
Yeah.
So local sourcing is not a bad idea. What are you going to say, Ashley?
I would say walking floor trailers are used for ag, they're used for refuse, they're used for, you know, soil, they're used for all kinds of things. So I'm sure there's a way to find that.
And I do like the idea, based on the low hours and as long as the vehicle's running well, you know, that we're not having problems with anything of the actual chassis itself, that, you know, we just take that thing offline from a registration standpoint, get a bed for it, and keep that truck moving. At, you know, what's it driving, like 2 miles a week or something? I mean,
yeah, it's a little, yeah. We calculated it, I don't remember the number.
It's ridiculous though, right? It's ridiculously low.
It's low.
So, great, thank you, Aaron. Anything else on that?
Nope.
Thank you for that presentation. And who gets to talk about a notice of violation from the Central Valley Water Resources Board.
This,
this is one we've actually talked about many times before.
Okay.
So this was back in June of 2020 when there was a sampling pull two times where FGL might have contaminated the sample. We did receive a notice of violation and a fine for $6,000. Beloit is going to pay that fine, and I'm just here to explain to you how we're going to process that.
Okay.
We decided to process it internally first so that we can keep a record of it and we can find it. So if anybody said, did you pay this violation, we could say yes. So Town of Discovery Bay paid the violation, and we just issued an invoice to Veolia to get it reimbursed. So that's how we're paying.
Well, it'd be in everybody's records that way.
Yeah, that is correct. But we just thought that would be the best way so we can have a record of it and not just put it in a file and then we don't know where it is
and
down the road when there's...
When we're not around anymore and somebody
correct.
Goes, well
yeah.
can I get a accounting of all the fines we paid in the last 10 years? And we go,
yes.
Someplace in a Valium I know.
Correct.
and they may not even be here at that point.
Yeah, so now it's in our financial
yeah.
system.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that's a great idea. Is that it?
That is it.
Okay. Any comment from anybody on the line, Greg? Anybody about that issue?
None for me.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate you being here. Any future agenda items? Not that we know of right at the moment. I'm sure by the next meeting there will be. If that's it, I will adjourn the meeting.